tell me what to buy me some for my house.
1 John 4:1. 1 John 4:1. Talking about the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Antichristo. Spirit of God and Spirit of Antichrist. What?
The number you start with.
Okay, 4:1. 1 John 4:1. Let me see your book.
I don't want to get it.
Okay, let me see your book. I'll find it for you real fast, John.
Why don't you take that home?
Oh, gosh, you're being nice. I was just trying to be nice. I was trying to. Well, thank you very much. I don't like that. I don't like that. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. 1 John 4:1. Agape toi. Me. Ponte. Numati. Pistiute. Ala. Doki mazete. Ta. Numata. A. Ek. Tu. Thiu. Estin. Hote. Poloi. Pseudo. Profete. Ex a le li thosin. Ace. Tone. Cosmon. All right. That's a long verse. A lot of good words in it. Agapetoi. That comes from the verb is agapeo, which means I love you. Agapeo, I love. Okay? Agapeo, see, I love you. That, and I've said this before, there are many words for love in Greek. But this word here is a love that you will sacrifice something for, that you'll sacrifice your life for. It's very, very important. This is the word that is used in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. All right? Now, I read a whole book. One guy wrote a book, a little book, about misnomers in the Greek language, and he said that many scholars had made a mistake by using the word agapeo, and that it was a godly mean, a sacrificial love, and then he quotes a place over here where the Pharisees loved the praise of men more than God, more than their own lives. Now, yes, they did, because they sacrificed the praise of men for their eternal souls. That's pretty serious, isn't it? If you love praise that much. Agape toi, beloved one, bhakti, plural, masculine. Me, that's a particle of negation. Look up on page 268. I think that's where it is. In the analytical Greek lexicon. I think I'm not wrong.
268?
Page 268. You see it around there anywhere?
What are
you
looking for?
We're looking for May. May. Is that where it is?
Particle of negation?
A particle of negation. All right, page 268. I did remember.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
All right. I've written these things down so many times that I remember the page numbers, and sometimes where they are on the page, because I've done it 10,000 times. And that's...
Yeah, it's at the bottom of the left column. And
what's it say? This particle of negation? Right, particle of negation.
A particle of negation not for the particulars of its uses, especially as distinguished from that of...
Ook.
Ook.
All right. Ook. That's an adverb of negation. Now, particle of negation just means not. Sometimes in the Bible, it'll say not, not, no. No, not, no. Now, when it says no, not no, that means it means no. I mean, it's not... In English, we do away with it. When we say no, no, we've done away with our first no. Okay? No, no. But in Greek, you can compound them because it intensifies it. Particle of negation. Beloved, not every... All right? Not every, ponte. That's a little adjective here. Spirit, pneumati. Now, the word spirit is in the neuter gender, if you want to write that down. All right? It's a neuter word. Now, when it talks about the Holy Spirit, it's still neuter. Now, the Holy Spirit is God. All right? He is God, but the Word is neuter. And your Jehovah's Witnesses will say that, see there, it's neuter, so it's a thing. The Holy Spirit is a thing, a force, not God. But many times when it talks about, when it uses a personal pronoun of the Holy Spirit, it will use a masculine personal pronoun because He is God.
In the Greek, is Spirit and God and Jesus, are those capitalized?
Yeah, well, originally, Greek was written in all capitals. The original Greek that the New Testament was written in, it all ran together in what we call uncials, I think. Something like that. Uncials. And I'll give you, this is John 1 and 1. It would be like this. And you have not known anything. It would be all just run together like this.
Mm-hmm. So you have to know the Word in order to...
Yeah. It would not be separated at all. Mm-hmm. It's just all run together, and that's all. So it was all capitals. Now, that's just the way it was. That was the way the manuscripts were written. And then they started using, much later, they started using lower and uppercase letters, and they also started punctuation. Originally, there was no punctuation. Later, we punctuated. The Bible was not... What?
This is how John and the Apostles wrote it?
Yes.
Just all capitals.
That's the way it was. That's the way it was.
All capital and all ran together.
All capital and all run together. That's what you call uncials. No punctuation, no separation of words. Now, I have a manuscript like that, and that's the one that I learned to read Greek from. That's the first way I learned it. Now, that's what advanced Greek, usually, that's how you learn advanced Greek when you start reading the manuscripts. But I learned reading those manuscripts first because that's the only Greek text I have, so that's how I learned it. Agape toi me pante pneumate. Beloved, not every spirit pistuete. Second person plural, present imperative active. Not every spirit ye believe, or don't believe every spirit. If you want to put it in your more smooth English, don't believe every spirit. And there's a reason. Alright? Now, when God created the heavens and the earth, all right, we have Genesis 1:1, Barashith bara Elohim et hashemayim we et haaretz, and then it says we haaretz haya tohu vavuhu. In the beginnings, in one of the beginnings, created God et hashemayim the heavens, we et haaretz and the earth, and she became formless and void. Something happened to the heavens and the earth. The earth, she became formless and void. Now, we know there's a great catastrophe there, and we know that God, back in eternity past, created, first of all, angels and spirits. Okay? And of these spirits and angels, at least one third of them rebelled against God. And they caused destruction in the physical realm, and probably material realm, and also in the spiritual realm, there was war and rebellion. Now, some of those spirits are just as tangible as that right there. Spirits are real. They're tangible. What does tangible mean? What's tangible mean?
Some substance to it.
That which may be touched. Spirits can touch you. Okay? Good and bad. Simple as that. Now, beloved, not every spirit believes. They can also influence people's minds. And we're going to get into some things here that's really scary. We're going to find out that a child of God is protected by God from evil spirits. Evil spirits can bother you. The devil can bother you. If you don't, and where in the Bible would you find that out about that? How the devil could, and evil, how could Satan mess with you? Where, an example in the Bible, can you find that?
In the Garden of Eden.
Well, in the Garden of Eden, yes. Anybody tell? The oldest book in the Bible. What's the oldest book in the Bible?
Job.
Book of Job. Job. The book of Job, the oldest book in the Bible. What happened to this poor man, Job?
Satan
was messing with him. Now, did God allow that to happen? Why? It proved to Satan there was a righteous man, and not only that, but that Job's life was lived for you and for me. Job lived and suffered for us. That's what he did. So we would have an example of how a man of God is supposed to act in spiritual and physical sickness, opposition, all that. Had Brother John pray for us tonight. I hope you don't mind me using you as an example, brother. You're a great man. I love that man, right there. Brother John used to preach. He was a great singer, guitar player, everything else. Had a bad stroke. He's here, trying to learn how to talk again and everything. I had him pray in the beginning. It was wonderful. I tell you, did it touch your heart? His prayer touched my heart, brother. It's a wonderful prayer. Can't ever put words together, but you know what? Things happen to us. Bad things. Bad things happen to children of God. We have an example. The one that is in us is stronger than all of that out there. Now, that out there is real. It is real. We suffer with sicknesses. We do. Because we're physical. Our bodies do degenerate and deteriorate, and we have sicknesses and pains and anxiety, and we can't serve the Lord like we want to sometimes. But we have examples of God's people overcoming these things. Maybe we can't do what we used to do, but we can do something. Huh. Beloved, not every spirit believe. Ye believe. Second person plural. Ye. Present tense. That means continue. Don't stop believing every spirit. Okay? Stop doing that. Because there's some bad ones out there. And he's talking to a New Testament church here, because this New Testament church has been infiltrated with Gnostics. Several kinds of Gnostics. They didn't believe that God became flesh. And Jehovah became flesh and walked among mankind in a real body. And it was really God there. And on Sunday afternoon at 4:30, I'm teaching the parables. And I started off in a really weird place to teach the parables. We started back off in eternity past. And we went through time and see how there was a great warfare with spirits and angels and God. And how that God has dealt with man down through the ages. Then we got over to the church age. The Lord called His church out, and Satan infiltrated the church. They have opposition from without, which is Judaism, trying to kill them. All right, and then from the inside we have heresy, and that's what John is dealing with right here: is heresy from within. The church is attacked from without and from within, and that's what the parables are all about: attack from without and from within. The woman. Remember the parable of the woman that took leaven and hid it in flour? The woman. The woman, many times women in the Bible, when it talks about woman, it's talking about evil. Alright? Women can bring forth a child without sin. Men can't. That's what Mary did. Mary brought forth a child without sin because she had no man. He was God. All right? sin nature is passed on through the blood of the man, not through the woman. But woman, in the book of Revelation, the great harlot, is false religion. Okay? And we're talking about the woman when Jesus talks about the woman took and hid leaven. And every place in the Bible where it talks about leaven, it's talking about sin and corruption. The woman hid leaven in the meal until it became leaven. Now, when you put leaven, yeast, in bread, what happens to the bread? It swells up. It swells up. I'm going to tell you something. The Lord founded one little assembly, and the devil founded a whole bunch of them and confused it. It swelled greatly. Christendom did. Well, we find that the only thing that stops, if you have bread and you put yeast in it, if you don't put it in an oven and burn it to kill the yeast, it'll just rot. Fire is judgment. God made it that way because it was for a sign. The mustard seed that was so small, but it grew up and became a tree for some reason. The monstrosity that it became. It became a monstrosity. Okay, something, nothing abnormal. And then in the parable of the sowers, the sower went forth to sow, and some of them fell on hard, out on the outside, on the fern rows. And who came up and ate it? Who ate up the seed? The birds. And then Jesus said, who were the birds? Devils. And who rested in the limbs of the mustard tree? The birds. That's Christendom. Now here we have Christendom being attacked from within. It's attacked from without, it's attacked from within. But strong adversity conjunction, page 15, I think. Page 15 in that analytical Greek lexicon. Look and see if it's there. Right in the front of it, page 15. Tell me what that Allah means there. Allah can be contracted to mean all, alpha, lima, lima. If it follows with another vowel in the next word, it'll do that. What's it say there about 15, on page 15? Did I do it right?
Nominal, plural, neuter, solos.
Allah. Allah.
Yeah,
that's right. Okay, Allah.
It refers to.
No.
Okay, look here.
Allah. Allah. That's the one up there. This one's the one. That's another Allah. What's it say there? It says conjunction, doesn't it?
Conjunction.
Uh huh.
However, still. But still more?
Uh-huh. But, when this is a strong adversity conjunction. Put down there, strong adversity conjunction. This is the one where it says, pay attention. But, real strong. But, in Greek, it would be like a shout. But, Allah, doki mazete. Okay, this word, dokimazete, it comes from dokimazo, and it's second person plural, present imperative active. Now, this word, it means the process in which you test metal to see if it's good, to see if it's real gold or real silver. Real gold or real silver. If it is real, it has there's a test. How would you test pottery? Jars and things. There was a way to test them also. What? Yeah, but there's another test. What? Put it in the kiln. Because way back then, back in those times, sometimes they would put wax on it and polish it up and make it cover up the cracks. And it really wasn't sound. And the word sincere, it comes from the word sincere, and that word means no wax. It was true. All right? That's to be put it to the test. Now, this word means to prove, to test, put it to the acid test, put it to the touchstone, as they did back then, but it means to prove. In every way, ta pneumate, the spirits, prove them. Now, how in the world would you prove it's a spirit? The Lord is going to tell us. Now, right in this church, in this place, there was a way to test the spirits. Test the spirits. Many of those people would stand up, the Gnostics would stand up, and they would say, the Cerinthians and the Doetic, the Ascetic, Gnostics would stand up and say, we are smarter than everybody else. God has revealed to us the real knowledge. The word Gnostic comes from knowledge. Okay? We have the real truth. Now, John is writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? Now, he says, test, prove, basically ever spirit. And then we have a first-class conditional. Remember, there's four conditionals in Greek. This first-class conditional is A. Epsilon iota there. A ek tu theou. Eston. Now, how do we know that's a first-class conditional? What tells us that this is a first-class conditional? Is it the spelling? Somewhat. When you see epsilon iota, that most of the time, that EI looking thing there, that would tell you that that's probably a first-class conditional. But what would prove to you that that is a first-class conditional by way of syntax? The verb over there, estin, present, indicative, active. Third-person singular, present, indicative, active. The indicative mode is what tells you. The indicative mode means what? Remember what the indicative mode means? Statement of fact. It is affirmed as true. Okay, so it's affirmed as true. Now, how should we translate this? It's not if, really. Grammatically, we should not put down there if. I mean, in English, we translate it if, but in Greek, if you really want to translate this correctly, it should be since. Since. Known as a fact. Since, out of the God, he is. If the Spirit is out of God, and Greek is the first class conditional, it's taking it as a fact. If this Spirit, since this Spirit is out of God, what's the Spirit going to say? Alright? Because, okay. Alright, that's on page 294 if you want to put that down there. Okay. Because many, many ones, many, adjective, Poloi. Pseudo prophetes. Look at that word. That is a compound word. Pseudo, that means false, doesn't it? Alright, what is the word prophet? That comes from pro and phatheo, doesn't it? Theonym. It means to say something before it's happened. There are many false prophets, it says. Ek eleuthosin. Many have gone out. Third person pro. Perfect tense. They have gone out. Indicative and active. They have gone out. That comes from ek and erkamai. That word does. Into ace, tone, cosmone. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. All right, world. What kind of world? 2 and 1. Ephesians 2 and 1. Does anyone have a New Testament? Hekine Deitheke? New Testament? Ephesians 2 and 1. Read, start reading there. Ephesians 2 and 1. Let's talk about this spirit world. Okay? Many spirits and false prophets have gone out in the world. Many false prophets are controlled by spirits which are real. Evil spirits. What do you think keeps people in false religions? Spiritual control. Power. Power. Dynamis. Much power. The word dynamis means power in Greek, but we got our word dynamite from it. That's dying, strong power. And spirits are strong. A lot stronger than we are. They are supernatural. They are paranormal. We are just what we call tangible in the physical. All right? Normal.
Ephesians 2:1?
Ephesians 2:1, yes.
And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world.
The course of this world. What translation do you got there?
This is New American.
No, okay, that's good. According to the course, the plans
of this world,
of this age.
According to the prince of the power of the air.
The prince and the power of the air. Who is that?
Satan.
Satan and his emissaries.
And of the spirit.
According to.
working in the sons of disobedience.
All right. The spirit that's energizing and energy. Energizing. Energy. That's what it was. Energizing the spirits, the children of what?
Children of disobedience.
Disobedience. The ones that were disobedient means not persuaded. That's what it literally means, not persuaded, unpersuaded. They're unpersuaded by God. God's Spirit goes out and convicts every man of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, but some are not persuaded. And when you will not come to God, you are in very dangerous territory, because then you leave yourself wide open to the other world, to the other powers. Now, in the other powers, if the other powers get a hold of your life, the other powers, what can it do? We all have certain desires, don't we? Worldly desires. One person's shortcomings and not the next person's shortcomings, but we all have them. Now, Satan will use those desires that you have against you. He will. Whatever it may be, he will use it against you. Now, if we are God's man and God's woman, we have the Spirit of God that is in us and dwells in us and remains in us, as John will say, that is stronger than those spirits are. But will those spirits ever leave you alone? Is the influence always there? Mm-hmm. It's there. It's always there. But we have the power of God. All right. To go on just a little further.
On verse 3, among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh.
That's right. But well, hold on right there, brother.
Okay.
Randall. The lust of our flesh. The lust, the desires, reside in the flesh of the man. This is that thing in you, part of you. That's what we see of each other, by the way. The lust of the flesh. The desires of the flesh. That flesh is what leads you astray. Now, you can let the world control your flesh, and you can let God control your flesh and your desires. When you are lost, you are a slave to that. You are enslaved. You don't have any choice, reality. You are enslaved. What's it say? According to the course of this world, you're enslaved. You're just like the rest of them. Go and read a little further. Start reading that over again, Brother Randall.
Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh.
Existed.
Indulging the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest.
The ones remaining.
But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love...
That's the word love that we have right up here in the first part of this. That's the word. Because of His great love, sacrificial love. What did He do?
With which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved.
That's a good one. Let's finish right there. Now, 6th chapter, and starting in verse 10. 6th and verse 10. 6th chapter of Ephesians in verse 10. You need to write these cross references down here, because this is exactly what John is referring to. He is commenting on Paul's writings.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil.
The schemes. That's a good word. It's the word methods. Methods of the devil. Now, how does the devil get to you? Through the lust of your what?
Flesh.
That's how he does it. He's how he gets to you. All right? And we are made up of the triune nature. We are body, which is flesh. We are spirit. And we are soul. And this is where our mind is. Now, the Lord tells us to take His Word in every day and renew our minds. okay, in Christ. Now, when we're lost, we have the spirit of disobedience in us, okay? When we're born again, Anagenason, where we're born from above, the spirit of disobedience is etched out. It is terminated. And the Spirit of God comes in here, and that's the way it's always been in the Old and New Testament time. Spirit of God comes and dwells in that individual, in which marks him, brands him, earmarks him indelibly for the resurrection. But that, even though the Spirit of God dwells in you, we have problems with the flesh still, don't we? We haven't. Because the flesh is still there. And the soul that we have, now we've got a brand new born again spirit in us, which is the Spirit of God. But we need to allow the Spirit of God to control the body and the mind. And if you don't do it, you're going to be a very unhappy individual. Period. That's just the way it is. And Paul here in Ephesians 6 chapter is telling us how to overcome. How do you do that? I'll put on the full armor of God so that we can withstand against the schemes and methods of the Diabolos. Diabolos there is the destroyer. Diabolos. It comes from two Greek words. Dia and follow. Diabolos. This is the word. It comes from dia and follow. And what it actually means is to murder. It means to throw a dart and to kill somebody. It means to throw a spear through you or a knife through you, or a sword through you. It means to murder and to kill. Diabolos. The schemes, the methods of the devil. All right. Go on just a little further there. The methods of the devil. Verse 10.
Yeah, sure. If I may be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers.
World grabbers is what it says. World grabbers. That's what you look it up. It means world grabbers. We are not struggling against our own flesh and blood. The devil uses it on us. But we're struggling against spiritual forces. Go ahead, brother.
Against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places.
Twisted wickedness.
Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm.
All right. That's what we're supposed to do. That's it. Because we are going to meet this in church. We were meeting in church. We had a good meeting last night. Brother Roger brought a wonderful message. And, you know, this church is a ministering church. They try to minister to everybody in every way that they can minister to. That's what this discipleship class is here for. Tonight we've got a lot of rain and bad weather and all this kind of stuff, so there aren't very many here, but we're here. We're supposed to be here. Roger told me last night, you'd be there. Be there early. Be there ready to teach. Show up, turn the lights on, turn the heater on. Do all that. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. Why? What is a disciple? Mathetes is a Greek word. It means habitual learner. So here we are, those of you who are here tonight are habitually learning. Because you want to know the answers to your problems. And Greek is beautiful. We look at Greek and we can understand the depths of God's Word because that's what it was written in. We're not studying translations tonight. We're studying the Word of God. All right? We're studying the very inspired, God-breathed Word of God. Well, many false prophets have gone out into the cosmos. What kind of cosmos? The world that we live in today is really not God's world, but it's the devil's world. And we have to live in enemy territory, don't we? The present God of this age is Satan, the rat. Now, one of these days, we're not going to have to put up with him anymore. Isn't that nice? We get to cheer as God throws him into the lake of fire and in the bottomless pit. We can say, yay! Hallelujah! Because he's given us so much trouble here. 4 and verse 2. In tuto.
In tuto.
Genos kete.
Genos kete.
To.
Numa.
Numa.
Tuthiu.
Tuthiu. Pon.
Numa.
Ho.
Ho.
Homologe.
Homologe.
Esu. Christu.
In.
Sarki.
Sarki.
Exe. Li. Toto. Lupa, that is. Ek.
To.
To you. Estin.
Estin.
John, you have to cross-reference this to John 1:14. Okay? You have to cross-reference it to John 1:14. Kai halogo sarks again, folks. John 1:14. This is very important. I. Ho. Logos. Sarks. Again, that's extremely important. John wrote this gospel to prove that God is here among us. Alright? John wrote 1 John to prove that God was in flesh among us. Here he says, and ho, kai, and conjunction, page 208, if you want to write that one down when you get around to it. Kai, ho, logos, and the word. Now remember what logos means. I wish I had. I got it at home. There was a paper I have at home about, a commentary on Aramaic in Jesus' time. And on the Hebrew, Old Testament. And it was on the word logos. Right there, logos. It said that when the Hebrews translated the Hebrew into Aramaic, and even from the Greek, Septuagint, which is translation of the Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures, when it said that God walked with Adam in the garden, okay, it said in Aramaic, the word walked with Adam in the garden, and the Word spoke to Adam. Just Jehovah is who it was. But they called him the Word because they could not say the name of God. They couldn't say it. And in the Hebrew Scriptures, when it comes to the word Jehovah, which we say so easily, but it can't be spoken, when they came to that word, they could refer to that word as the Word. In Greek, it was Kyrios, Lord, which Jesus was referred to all the time, Kyrios, the Kyrios, Ho Christus, or Jesus, Ho Christus, Jesus, the Lord, Jesus, the Messiah, okay? The word literally meant Jehovah, okay? Now, if you look up the Jehovah titles on my website, on discovertheword.com, if you look down toward the bottom of the title page that comes up there, down there it will be the names of God, or the titles of God. If you go down there, you can push on that, and it'll show you the Jehovah titles. The Jehovah titles. Jesus fulfilled the Jehovah titles. And it's so plain because John is showing us that in John 1:14. And the Jehovah flesh, sarks, flesh. Sarks. In Latin it's carne. In Spanish it's carne. Alright? Flesh. We know what flesh is. This is what we have. What we walk around in. Every day. Clap your hands together. That's flesh doing that. It's real, isn't it? Is it real? Put your hands together. Make noise. We're making noise. See? We can do that. Why? Because we're real. It's flesh. Now, and God, the Jehovah Elohim, flesh, egetico, he became, third person singular, second aorist, indicative, middle voice. God became flesh. Now, John wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. In every one of these books, He shows forth the deity of Jesus in the flesh. Jesus means Yahshua, by the way. Yahshua in the Old Testament. Yahshua, or Joshua, means Jehovah saves. All right? And Jesus means Jehovah saves, the Messiah. Jesus the Messiah. HaMashiach. Yahshua HaMashiach. In Hebrew. The Jehovah flesh he became for himself, middle voice. God let himself out of eternity into space and time. Now, someone, do you have a New Testament with you?
No, I dropped it off.
All right. Brother Randall, John 1:14. Read all of it. And correct it just a little bit as you go along. And then John 1:18 also. We have to prove Scripture with Scripture.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth.
John 1:18. Now this is very beautiful too, if I haven't taken you here before. This is a beautiful verse.
No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God.
The only begotten God.
Is in the bosom of the Father.
The one being own in the bosom of the Father. Inseparable from the Father. John 1:1. Same thing. What has he done?
He has explained himself.
He has explained him, but in Greek it said he has led himself out again, middle voice. God led himself out of eternity into space and time in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, God planned that back in eternity past before anything was ever created. He didn't get caught off guard. God planned it because it would be physically possible. Physically possible. A woman can have a child. A woman is capable of having a child without sin. But when she cohabits with man, that child gets the sin nature. Now, the Jewish girls knew this. The Jews knew this because of the promise of Genesis 3:15. When Mary was born, she was up 13, 14 years old, God appeared to her, told her, or Gabriel did, and told her that she was going to have a child of the Holy Spirit. The child would come forth. Now, since that child was not born of a man, that child would be sinless with her. He didn't get his sin nature from the mother. His nature was God. The only begotten God is what John 1:18 said. The only begotten God has led himself out. Do you see how it is medically and scientifically possible for the virgin birth? Now, she didn't have to be a virgin. That could have happened to any woman. But God said it would happen. He said it would happen. Any woman in Israel could have had the Messiah child if the Holy Spirit had covered her and implanted himself in her. Because the sin nature wouldn't be there. But God chose this woman to bring forth the Messiah and bring it into the world because it was prophesied that it would happen. All right. Now let's go on and look at about... In this ye know, ye understand, the Spirit of the God. Every or each spirit, which it says the same, is what it says the same. Any spirit that says the same, that means confesses. All right, we get the word confession. What, when we confess our sins to God, what we are doing is saying the same thing that He already knows. That's literally what it means. Homo and Lego. Homo legeo. Legae. The Spirit which, little relative pronoun there, which confesses, continues to confess, Jesus, Jesus, we know which one it is, not just any Messiah, but Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ, in flesh, having come. Now, who is John fighting against? Who is he combating here? What error, what false doctrine is he combating? That Jesus wasn't flesh. All right. Now, Jesus died in the flesh. He died on the cross of Calvary. And I'm going to tell you something else. That wasn't enough. He had to be resurrected in the flesh. The resurrection had to take place. He died for our sins, but he's resurrected for our what? Justification. If Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, we don't have any salvation. We don't have any. No good. Null and void. Nothing. The old witnesses said Jesus, the person Jesus, was never resurrected. The Gnostics said Jesus was never resurrected. Christ in the flesh having come out of the God he is. This prophet is sent out from God. If he says this. If he doesn't say this, forget it. Now the Gnostics denied this. Half of the religious Christendom today, they'll name the name of Jesus, but they deny that he was God in the flesh. That he died on the cross of Calvary, that he was resurrected by God. Who resurrected Jesus from the dead, by the way? Who did it?
God.
Who?
God.
Jesus said, you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll do what? I'll raise it up. The Bible said the Father raised the Son. The Bible also says the Eternal Spirit raised the Son. Now, that does not cause confusion. Because here we have the triune God dying on the cross of Calvary and the triune God raising himself from death. We have the whole triune God involved in it. The whole triune God. Well, 4 and verse 3. 4 and verse 3. I'm going to read that this week, but we're going to quit right there. Is this the 23rd?
Yeah.
All right. Let's read it here together. Kai. Pon, Numa, Ho, Me, Homolege, Ton, Esu, Ek, Tu, Thiu, Uk. There's that other word, adverb of negation now, page 294. Uk, Esten, Kai, Tuto, Esten, To, Tu, Antichristu, Ho, Akusate, Hote, Erkete, Kai, Mean, En, To, Kosmu, Esten, Ede. Alright. There's where we're going to quit today. Do you have any questions?
What's the book that you said that we should purchase that isn't in print that we can purchase off the internet?
You can get it off the internet. Brother Randall's got it right there. Is that it, Brother Randall? No, that's Brown Driver Greek. Is that your analytical Greek lexicon? Or is that it?
No, this is it. That's they it. All look the same because I read them before.
Oh, okay. All right. This is it. Is that all right if you write some of this down? You can go on the internet and look up this. Zondervan printed it.
Mm-hmm.
And there it is. Okay? And you can get it. It's usually around $20 to $40. Sometimes you can get it for $10. I've seen them sell for $7. Just depends on who's got it, if they're used, and what kind of shape it's in and everything. But that will greatly help your studies. You really need, if you want to study Hebrew, you need an analytical Greek lexicon, Hebrew lexicon, that is. And in Greek, you need an analytical Greek lexicon. What?
Does it have the pronunciation?
No, it doesn't have that. I'll tell you a book, if you want to, you may have it, I don't know. Do any of you familiar with Young's Analytical Concordance? I know Randall is, because I got him on. Okay, now that one, every word in the New Testament, it is, if it's in Hebrew, it pronounces it in Hebrew and shows you what it looks like, and in Greek it does the same thing. Young's Analytical Concordance, that is the best concordance there is. Everybody pushes Strong's, but I don't. I don't like it even at all. Young's is much better than Strong's. Strong's is cross-reference to Thayer and to Brown Driver and Briggs and all that stuff, but you don't even have to be cross-referenced because Young's has got all of it down there anyway.
So what
do you go to when you buy books, Randall?
Amazon,
eBay, all of those different ones. Abe.com or something like that. Abebooks.com. Different ones like that. All right. Well, I'm going to turn you loose on the world, go out and do something eternal this week. Brother Randall, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?
Our God, we thank you for giving us tonight to study your word in the original language. I appreciate it again.